Now, back in November, we spoke to career psychologist Sinead Brady about why so many people are avoiding promotions at work or in their new job. So if you listen to that and you still want to move, she's back again to give us some tips on how to go about that. Thank you so much for coming back in, just Sinead.
No problem, Nora.
How are you getting on? I'm going to get you because I was too busy chatting to you off air. We didn't do any of the logistics stuff. If you pull that microphone right into you.
Oh,
there we go.
Thank you.
So everyone can hear your lovely words of wisdom.
Oh, thank you.
You know, okay, we're January and everybody's like, you know, shedding their old skin, trying to, you know, do new things. You don't have to do it all in one go. But one of the big things that kind of comes is if you're coming back into a job that you actually dislike, January can be the month that kind of goes, oh my God, I actually really hate this. I need to get out of it. What are the first things to consider, Sinead, if you're looking at moving jobs?
Okay, so first thing is, yes, January is one of those months because it's a psychological temporal landmark.
Yeah.
So we go September because it's kind of back to school and people think about it then. January or birthday. So there's these, but January is one of them. It's a big one. So one of the really important things to do is think before you act.
Okay.
So
don't quit your job.
Don't quit your job. Like, financial insecurity is the worst type of insecurity that you could be dealing with. It's so stressful, much more stressful than being in a role or a job that you don't want to be in. That's first thing. Second thing is pause and breathe as you do that and acknowledge that this is not going to be an overnight transformation or an overnight change. It takes time. And then after that, begin to ask yourself some of these really important questions that really we should all know.
Okay.
But we've never been taught them, and that's nobody's fault. But we just have to think about managing our career and wonder, is this a job change, which we talked about in November, or is this a career change that I'm thinking about? And a career change is fundamentally different. It means changing industry typically. It typically involves upskilling, reskilling or retraining because you have to meet the professional qualifications of the body that governs the job or the career that you want to go into. So first thing I would say to you is get really clear on what you want to do, why you want to do it. So the questions you're answering is, where do you want to go and where do you want to grow? That's the first thing you need
where
to understand.
Where do you want to go and where do you want to grow?
That's correct.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, so that kind of gets the clarity piece. And when you're thinking about going and growing, you need to understand where you are now. So get really clear on that. And sometimes that feels a bit uncomfortable because you might think, well, I'm not where I want to be. I haven't done the upskilling, the reskilling. I haven't done an interview in ages. I haven't studied in ages. That's actually okay. You've done it before. You can do it again. So that there, just where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? And what's the gap between where you are now and where you need to go?
So let's talk about, because you mentioned it there, asking yourself that really important question about where am I now? Like, why is the skill set that you already have very important about where you want to go to? Like, why is that a good thing to keep in mind?
So I love that question. It's a really good thing to keep in mind because it helps you to establish the gap between where you are now and where you want to go.
Okay.
The other thing it helps is with the fear. So what I find with people that are thinking about a career change is it's like absolute dread and fear that they're leaving everything behind, that it's starting fresh, it's starting new. And I'm like, okay, hang on. Just because you decide to change career does not mean that you're leaving everything that you've learned before behind. For the majority, they are transferable skills.
Yeah.
And a transferable skill means it is a skill that you put into your, you know, toolbox or whatever it is and bring with you. It can be applied to the majority of jobs. The part that you're going to have to learn or relearn or learn from scratch is the technical skill of doing the job.
Yeah.
So you bring with you all those amazing human skills, like, you know, the knowledge of the industry. You've so much, like working with people, teams, collaboration, negotiation, public speaking, whatever it is that you have already done. It's the technical skills that you must now learn. So you're not starting from fresh. You're learning more and learning new.
It's really interesting as well that you say that, because like, you're moving into a whole new role, I understand it. But even if you were actually staying in the same job you were doing and moving into an entirely different, you know, building, let's say.
Correct.
Like, everybody operates different.
Yeah.
And then people have got different like quirks in the way that they work around an office and stuff. So like, you just have to be like, no, I know how to do this. We're just reframing it ever so slightly.
Absolutely. And think about your first 90 days. So, you know, give yourself some time to think about how are you going to, if you're moving to a new building or into a new team, how you're going to manage that, and give yourself kind of tasks within the 90 days so that you've got something that you're going to learn, something you're going to do, something going to be new each week.
Yeah.
And that might sound, but you have to work on your career as well as in it. And if you just spend all your time working in your career, you miss the big picture about where do you want to go and where do you want to grow.
Yeah.
And that's why you need to be really clear on that.
Speaking about being really clear, work-life balance, right? Remote working, it's been all the rage for the last couple of years. The tide's slightly turning. Should you mention that in the interview stage? Like, should you be clear in the interview stage, I would like to work from home 4 days a week?
So I'm going to flip that and I'm going to say your employer, whoever you're going to, should be clear about what's available, or the organisation or the industry. Some industries are different than others, but I mean, we have to get to the point where we are adults.
It's so hard to remember, though.
It's so hard, I think, sometimes for everybody to remember. You know, we know that people work really well. Some people work really well at home. Some people work really well hybridly. Some people work really well remotely. Some people don't. And if you are one of those people, you have to be adult enough to acknowledge that actually you work way better in the office. The other thing is, you know, if you want to work 4 days, where is the trust that is built? So, you know, working 4 days a week from home, somebody knowing that you can do that and are willing to do it, that is built on trust. And as with any relationship, you build trust piece by piece, bit by bit. So absolutely have the conversation in the interview. It's kind of, have you got any questions for us territory. It's where, you know, you're in the interview and they're going, have you any questions for us? Don't make it your only question. You know, make sure that it is part of a suite of questions, like, you know, what does success look like for me in this role or in this career? And then, you know, ideally, I'd love to have some flexibility or work hybridly or remotely. What's the policy on the team that I'm going to be working? Because every team, as you said, will have its own idiosyncrasies. So what is this team and how does it work? Because some teams, it depends on the person who's leading that team and they just might have their own approach. So you have to be kind of careful around that as
You need to see what's actually going to happen when you get into that. There's one thing being in the room with the people who are hiring you, but that they're not the people you're going to be spending your most time with.
Absolutely.
What makes time scale an important aspect to keep in mind?
Okay, so we have this kind of idea.
We're obsessed.
Yeah.
We're obsessed.
And we need to be obsessed.
5-year plan.
But we're also obsessed with things happening overnight and really quickly. You know, we live in this very fast-paced society where things are literally changing over lunchtime. But the reality is, if you are going into a profession that requires training, it does not happen overnight. So say, for example, you are an accountant who has decided to become a hairdresser. It will take you 4 years to do that. That is just the end of the story. You need that professional qualification in order for anybody to let you touch their hair. Again, if you are a teacher and you want to become a plumber, that's going to take you 4 years. If, on the other hand, you're a plumber and you want to become a teacher, that's going to take you 4 years. If you're a hairdresser and you want to become an accountant, that's going to take you 4 years. So it takes time. This notion of kind of, and I blame Disney, you know, that you throw in your P45 and the following day you are either running a successful business or you are in the dream role. That just doesn't happen. And if you're working with somebody to support you through that transition and they're telling you that it will happen very quickly, that's a major red flag, you know. So it will take time. But equally, when it takes time, it means that you are less rushed. You become less vulnerable to making really reactive decisions. You're proactive. And you can gain experience in the industry or the career that you want to go into while you are training, while you're upskilling or reskilling.
It's the time thing is a huge aspect for everybody, because you kind of go, oh my God, I can't believe that this is going to take me 4 years, or I can't believe this is going to take whatever. And my granny, Nona Fox, always has, like, is she the best advice? Because someone had this before where they were in a job they hated, but they didn't want to go back to college because they were like, oh well, that's going to take me 4 years before I get into this. And she's like, well, the time's going to pass anyway.
I love that.
So what are you doing?
Yeah.
Do you want the time to pass and at the end of it be at the destination that you actually want to be in? Or would you like the time to pass and you're still where you are and you're still giving out?
Yeah, I love that.
She's dead right. Absolutely. And I apply that to every situation where I'm like, oh, it's going to take ages. I'm like, but sure, what am I at anyway? It's fine. Like, if we talk about that, and that's like one roadblock that someone might put in their way, how would you overcome the fear of moving jobs? So if there's other things, you know, like, I've just answered that. If that was your reasoning for not wanting to swap careers, and there you've just heard that, you're like, oh crap, now I don't have a reason. Like, is there more like things that we can do to help people overcome the fear?
Yeah, and I think we decide at kind of maybe 16 or 17 that this is the path we're going to go down, because we start to choose subjects in school and, you know, then we go into college or go into one of the training areas. And we look at it and we go, well, I made that decision and now I must stick with it. I say to people a bit, you know, that's like deciding that you're going to wear the same pair of shoes or the same pair of jeans from your 16 or 17 right the way through your life. Change is happening within the world of work and careers at an unprecedented rate, particularly with the way technology is changing, AI, data, all of that is having a massive impact on how, why and where we work. So now that you're maybe 10, 15, 20 years beyond that choice,
yeah.
there are choices that were not available to you before that you might really like the idea of.
There are industries that didn't exist.
That didn't exist. So it is actually okay to want to change. It is okay to want to change your jeans from the ones that you were wearing when you're just the same way as it is okay to say, I want to diversify. I want to think differently about my career so that I'm choosing something that works for me during this season of my life. And that's okay. And it is very closely attached to our identity, our careers. And that means, you know, when you have that fear, you can say to yourself, I have that fear because I care.
Yeah.
And my career is important to me. But I'm going to be really clear on what I want to do, how I'm going to do it, and the steps that I'm going to take. And I'm going to be proactive rather than reactive as I work on my career rather than in it.
Let's talk about money, because this is like the biggest taboo in this country. We're allergic to talking about it. We're too afraid. But why is a financial step back not necessarily a career setback?
So you have to think about, when you are thinking about career change, you will take the transferable skills with you, but you will be learning the new technical skills. So when perhaps you go to an organisation to build those new technical skills, you will likely have a take, you know, a step back in pay. And what you need to be thinking about when you are going through this is, how do I replace my outgoings? Not how do I replace my income?
Okay.
So there's a distinction. Your income is kind of, you know, we know that spending goes up on a Thursday evening and on a Sunday night. People are tapping kind of with when the pay comes in to sometimes put a plaster over how they're feeling about what they're doing. So what you need to be able to replace is your groceries, your rent or your mortgage, and some of the core things that are absolutely vital. For 2 years, if you're really serious about it, and I'm not saying this anecdotally, I've done this myself.
Okay.
There may be a trade-off between the luxuries that you would like to engage in and the other parts. So you just take a step back and you go, I'm replacing my outgoings, not my income. And that's very, very different. And then you can bridge that very quickly when you're out the other side of things. So when you get into the stage where you've been through that kind of apprenticeship of your career, those first 2 years, because you have the skills and experience, you will rapidly progress through the system.
What part does consistency and commitment play in this? Like, I know you're saying there about changing. I really like that, actually, change the outcoming, not the income, because the income, it has to be what it is. You're not going to be able to top that up. So, like, you got to really restrain yourself and, you know, don't be tappity-tap-tap-tap, because we're all guilty of it. But, like, commitment and consistency, like, what role do they play in all of this?
So commitment is really about saying, this is what I'm doing and this is how I'm doing it. And rather than just thinking about it, you're moving from thought to action. And you are saying, now I'm committing to this over the next 18 months, 2 years. This is what commitment looks like. And then you're very consistent in that commitment. So very often what happens at this time of year is people make decisions to do things and then we fall off the bandwagon.
Yeah.
And it's the commitment and the consistency that is really important. So the commitment is going, this is what I'm doing. This is how I'm doing it. Now that I know where I'm going, where I'm growing, this is what I'm going to do and this is how I'm going to do it. And then the consistency is having that plan in place for yourself on a quarterly basis and having somebody that holds you accountable.
Yeah.
You know that friend?
Mm-hmm.
Or the family member. Friends usually are better.
Friends are way better. Your family are like, great, but stick in that job, you're fine.
Yeah. So the friend, or it might be that you kind of have somebody that you actually work with who's a professional that holds you accountable to those goals. So you meet them on a quarterly basis and the focus of that meeting is, what did you do?
Yeah.
What did you achieve? And what went wrong? And where could we course correct? So that you don't get to the point in 2 years' time or 3 years' time that you're kind of the same.
Yeah.
You're not necessarily moving, you've become stagnant. So when you make the commitment, you're then consistent in what you are doing to achieve that.
Another thing as well, and it's just popped into my head right now, is if you're doing that and you're committing to it and you're going to be consistent with everything, I think you have to trust yourself, because there will be a lot of people around you going, why are you doing that?
Absolutely.
You just got, like, oh my God, like, would you not just stay where you, don't listen to everybody else's opinions, because it's your life. You don't need the approval of anybody else.
You don't, and you don't need their permission either.
Yeah.
So a really important thing as you're going through this process is to adopt a permission mindset. And a permission mindset is where you don't look for permission from others. You grant it to yourself to do what you need during this season of your life. And as you do that, it doesn't mean that you can't take other people's opinions on board. You can't listen to diverse perspectives. But when you know what you're doing, where you're going and growing and why, yeah. it becomes less noise in the background and you can still move forward. And I think sometimes people, going back to what you mentioned about holding you back, people talk about confidence an awful lot. Yeah. And I have a really big problem with confidence, because confidence and competence are not the same thing. And confidence is often overrated, where you see overconfident people who are undercompetent yeah. doing things. And that's, you know, it's about courage. And it's about trusting yourself, just like you said. So I have the courage to do this, and I'm going to trust myself as I go through the process. I'll get help where I need it. I will ask for help where I need it. But I'm going to be courageous. I'm going to hold my career, and I'm going to be courageous as I use my career for me and design success on your own terms.
Yeah.
What you need for you during this season of your life.
Shoot your shot.
Yeah.
Is essentially what we're saying. Yeah. Throughout. Shoot, you've done the work. You've looked into absolutely everything. You were going to look at your outgoings as opposed to your incomings, and then you're just going to go, I'm going to be happier in 4 years' time. We just got a text in here from someone who says they're previously an accountant and they went back to college and they're 3 years doing architecture and delighted that they jumped for that. Yeah. So like, there you go. Like three absolutely. Years into it, like another year, and then you go back into this whole new world, and it's exciting as well.
It is exciting, and their clients are going to love them because they're also got the head screwed on yeah. for pricing.
Yeah, exactly.
So the architect that's an accountant is just a magic set of skills.
Sinead Brady, thank you so much for that. That was Sinead
You're so
Brady.
Welcome.
You can follow her at The Career Psychologist on Instagram for loads of helpful tips. We'll be right back after this. And honestly, I wish anybody who is moving jobs the very best of luck
Absolutely.
In their new start. It's so exciting. Sinead, thanks a million.